on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, up to 1,000 people a day don't turn up for their scheduled COVID-19 tests, according to the HSE. The HSE, meanwhile, says it's very pleased with how schools have responded to recent cases of COVID-19. A stay and spend tax break scheme has been launched in a bid to increase business in the off-season for the hospitality sector. The Green Leader commits to following up with the Health Minister over calls that recommendations in a review of gynaecological services at Letterkenny University Hospital be implemented. We'll also hear from Donegal TD Piers Doherty, who raised the issue in the Dáil this morning, and a new regeneration plan is announced for the Twin Towns. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15, and this being a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That'll be after the sport at around about 5:20. Up to 1,000 people a day aren't turning up for scheduled COVID-19 tests. The HSE is warning this is becoming an issue at a number of sites. It's urging people who've been given appointments to attend them. Labs processed 61,950 tests last week with an average positivity rate of 1.3%. The HSE's Chief Operations Officer, Anne O'Connor, says it's worrying that a quarter of those offered appointments are not showing up.
Particularly now where potentially we have to have capacity for schools or whatever, if we have that number of appointments not being taken up, and there are some areas where it is more of an issue than others, we really just want to communicate to people that because these appointments are automatically scheduled, and even though we can book people as much as possible, we are finding that there are sites where people are not availing of their appointments, and that means that it's an appointment that somebody else could have used.
The HSE says it's pleased with how schools have responded to recent cases of COVID-19. Over 1 million students returned to class over the past week with cases of the virus confirmed at 2 Dublin schools. There have also been reports of closures in Clare and also in Kerry. The HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid says each situation has been handled well.
As you'll be aware, we've already experienced a number of confirmed cases across schools this week, and I'm very pleased with the nature of the responses. Our collaboration with schools, I'd like to commend the principals. I'd particularly like to commend our public health teams, who act really very quickly and diligently working with the schools. When a case has been identified in the school, public health teams are immediately communicating with the school.
But as I said, two schools in Kerry have sent some students home after pupils tested positive for COVID-19 there. The cases were recorded in a primary school and also in a secondary school. Radio Kerry's Trasa Murphy has sent us this report.
The secondary schools sent home students in one school year after a pupil tested positive for COVID-19. The school found out this morning that the student had contracted the virus. The school took the decision to send home all the students who are in the same class year as the pupil. Just one student in the secondary school has tested positive for the virus. Radio Kerry News understands that the primary school, which is in the same area as the secondary school, sent home two classes after a pupil tested positive for coronavirus. The primary school wouldn't comment.
A stay and spend tax break scheme has been launched in a bid to increase business in the off-season for the hospitality sector. Anyone who spends up to €625 in restaurants, pubs, hotels or B&Bs between now and next spring will be entitled to a tax credit of 20%. Receipts can be uploaded through the Revenue Receipts Tracker app. Tourism Minister Catherine Martin says a major publicity campaign encouraging people to spend at home is now being launched.
A campaign nationwide on radio and newspapers. It'll be active this weekend. The campaign starts to inform people about the campaign and also how to access that tax credit. They'll also be providing businesses with a digital and physical marketing toolkit, so how they can let customers know that they are open to this scheme.
Well, 77 new cases of COVID-19 were reported in Northern Ireland today. It brings to 7,442 the total number of cases north of the border since the start of the pandemic. One additional death was also reported. The total number of deaths linked with COVID-19 now 563. The electronics company AVX is to cut 77 jobs in Coleraine. East Derry MLA Caoimhe Archibald, Sinn Féin's economy spokesperson, is calling on the company to immediately liaise with the workforce and its representatives to ensure everything possible is done to ease the blow. She says it's terrible for the workers and their families, and also for the wider local economy, which she says is already under intense strain as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Other news today, and the Green Party leader has committed to following up with the Health Minister on calls that recommendations in a review of gynaecology services at Letterkenny University Hospital be implemented. A damning report published last week found that the service provided to some patients was unsatisfactory. In all, 38 women over the past 10 years waited more than 100 days for a diagnosis or treatment. The matter was raised today during leaders' questions by Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty.
This wasn't just an issue of delay. This was also an issue of misdiagnosis. This was an issue of serious flaws at management level in Letterkenny University Hospital, at SEALTA level, but also serious issues in relation at governmental level. One of the recommendations of the report is that a maternity ward, an obstetrics ward, would be commissioned. That ward was built, not yesterday or the year before that, in the year 2000, a state-of-the-art theatre that has been lying idle for 20 years and has resulted in some of the issues that I've outlined today. Now, the fact of the matter is, and we can't just brush over this, the consultant and the families, families like Annie Farrell, who had to go public, they went through all the right channels. They went to the hospital, they went to SEAL, they went to the minister, and it was deaf ears after deaf ears after deaf ears, and they continued to fight. They had to explain their story in the media. They had to reach out to others to make sure that this review took place. And we can't get away from the issue here. Women in Donegal lost their lives as a result of the practices in that hospital.
Thank you, Deputy
Doherty. That's at the core of this. So can I ask you in particular, in relation to the recommendation that an audit be carried out right across the state in relation to endometrial cancer, will you ensure that that happens? And will you ask for a wider review in relation to what is happening in Letterkenny? Because many of the patients are not happy with how Letterkenny or SEALTA are dealing with them, even at this point today.
Well, responding, the Green Party leader, Minister Eamon Ryan, committed to ensuring that the report is fully considered and followed up.
I don't have the full details, so I'm reluctant to comment on any hospital or any one unit within a particular hospital. But I agree fully on this. There can be no hiding from instances where there is failing in the system. There has to be full transparency and accountability. And yes, if it is shown from the Department of Health that such an audit is needed of such diagnostic facilities right across the country, I'd fully support it. But that has to be done on a science and a health basis. I can't do that here in the Chamber.
The newly appointed Agriculture Minister has endeavoured to give it his all. Minister Charlie McConlogue has identified the pressing issues facing him to be cap reform, having the agri-food sector prepared for Brexit and ensuring workers in the sector are safe from COVID-19. Having served 4 years as Fianna Fáil's agriculture spokesperson, he's said he's well aware of the challenges that lie ahead and he's very much looking forward to working with everyone in the sector, both locally and nationally.
Delighted in particular to have this role because it's one I know well. And also particularly as well because it's one which I think is very important to our own county where agriculture is particularly important to our local economy and in terms of employment across Donegal. And also the importance of the food sector, the marine and fishing sector and also agriculture. So I'm very much looking forward to working with everyone within the sector in the county and also of course nationally to try and lead it in the time ahead.
A new regeneration plan has been announced for the Twin Towns. Donegal County Council says it'll work closely with BASIC, the Ballybuffet and Stranorlar Integrated Community Company, to identify key priorities and actions that will see the sustainable regeneration of the Twin Towns up to 2040 and beyond. Work's already been undertaken over the past 12 months and they say this plan will go further to strengthen the capacity and competitiveness of Ballybuffet and Stranorlar. Well, the Cathaoirleach look of the Lifford Stranorlar Municipal District is Councillor Gary Doherty.
A lot of work has already gone into this project and it's really exciting now to start the next phase of that project. And hopefully over the next 12 months what we'll see would be the potential of this town, of the Twin Towns being developed. And as we move towards 2040, I think it's a really exciting time to see a whole regeneration of Ballybuffet and Stranorlar, and it's really exciting for everybody in the area.
Landowners affected by the planned 10T project are being encouraged to make contact with Donegal County Council. Earlier this year, route corridors were confirmed for the three sections of the scheme, the Ballybuffet Stranorder Bypass, Letterkenny to Manor Cunningham and Manor Cunningham to Lyford Strabane. Residents who will be impacted were also identified. At this stage, Donegal County Council is urging those affected to talk to them about various ancillary works associated with the project and how best to accommodate everyone going forward. Damien McDermott is a senior engineer with the National Roads Office. He says it's important that these issues are discussed now.
Process here is that, look, unless we go to the process we're at the moment, unless we go to the CPO, the scheme will never happen. So we have to make sure we complete this process that we're at the moment. So the bottom line, the next step is the publication of the CPO and ES, which will happen early next year. So we may do talk to people in advance of that in particular circles and try and engage them further on that. The main thing is to identify to all the people affected what land we're buying and try and engage them as regards how the scheme affects them.
There are calls for the installation of more closed-circuit television in Carndonagh. It follows a recent spate of antisocial activity in the town, the most recent incident last weekend with seating vandalised in the town centre. Earlier in the summer, furniture in a local park was also destroyed, as were trees. Councillor Martin McDermott believes having more CCTV cameras around would act as a deterrent and also help bring those responsible for such crimes to justice.
You would know straight away, and the next morning the Gardaí should have access. Let that access be from them or by the local authority and the council offices there in Carndonagh would be a perfect spot to have and keep that data protection and keep that CCTV footage under lock and key, that only the Gardaí would be able to access that. And I'm sure that's something that should and must be able to be done, and it would give everybody in Carndonagh and the surrounding areas that bit of comfort that if something happened that the Gardaí would be able to quite quickly the next morning see what went on within the town.
A Bronze Age urn has been unearthed in Donegal. The object containing cremated remains is said to have been buried 4,000 years ago at the site of the new €21 million community hospital in Ballyshannon. The urn's now been taken to Dublin for examination and conservation. The director of the excavation, Tamlin McHugh of Fadhaw Archaeology, says the discovery was made close to where a previous excavation took place in 2017.
A Bronze Age boulder burial was identified in 2017 during testing works at the site in advance of the development of the new hospital. And a new area then was subsequently opened up last week, and that's where we found the flat cemetery with a ring ditch, and within the ring ditch was the urn that we lifted yesterday with the expert conservator Suzanne Kelly.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with international football. Stephen Kenny tonight becomes the eighth man this century to take charge of the Republic of Ireland side. His tenure opens with a Nations League away game to Bulgaria. Of the 24-man squad who travelled, West Brom's Darrow Shea is the only player excluded from the matchday squad. Without revealing a starting 11, Kenny's almost sure to go with four at the back.
You know, we have to have the flexibility to change even within a game. But right down from under 15 to under 21, work on the proviso having 4-3-3, stroke 4-2-3, one depending on the players that we have. Pick the team to suit the players, really. And I think so. That's, I have that with that in mind.
Kickoff time tonight in Sofia is 7:45. At the same time in Ireland's group, Sunday's opponents, Finland, play host to Wales. Premier League clubs are likely to take a financial hit after the league cancelled its broadcast contract in China. It's reported the television deal with PPTV has been terminated, and this is due to an unpaid fee of £160 million. In golf, Rory McIlroy will begin the defence of his Tour Championship title later as a new father after announcing the arrival of a baby daughter. The four-time major winner revealed on social media that his wife Erica had given birth to Poppy Kennedy McIlroy on Monday. There is a $15 million first prize on offer at the Tour Championship at Eastlake. Under the controversial handicap system, McIlroy will begin this evening on 3 under par, 7 shots behind FedEx Cup leader Dustin Johnston. Jonathan Caldwell is level par on day one at the Andalusia Masters. Cormac Sharvin and Gavin Moynihan are both in the clubhouse on 4 over and 8 over respectively. Adrian Asidia is the course leader on 3 under. Well, Rosapenna Golf Club will host its first ever professional competition in the summer of 2021 when the Irish Senior Championship comes to Donegal. After a 12-year absence, the Irish Seniors returns to the county with host former Ryder Cup captain Paul McGinley announcing the event this week. Ballyliffin held the competition in 2008 and 10 years later, the Irish Open. With the successful seniors next year, Rosapenna's John Casey says that's something could be on the radar for them down the line.
Yeah, I mean, you've John Farns done great things in Ballyliffin and down through the years. I mean, they also had the Irish Ladies in the 90s, the Irish Ladies Open. They had the Northwest of Ireland Open, I think, in around 2002, and then the seniors in what I think was 2008. So they were definitely, you know, building towards it, and that's something that we'll work towards as well, I suppose, as seen. And obviously, we've some great people in Donegal County Council that were very, very supportive of Ballyliffin bringing the Irish Open to the county and are very, very supportive of golf and tourism. So, you know, it's definitely something that would be on the radar in the future. Whether or not we can make it happen remains to be seen, but it's definitely, you know, be a great thing for Donegal and Rosapenna.
And there's more from John Casey tonight on the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news on that announcement that the Irish Seniors will be held at Rosapenna next week. I'll also be joined on the programme by Brendan Kilcoyne and Davy McLaughlin as we look at the huge games this weekend on the Gaelic Games front in the Donegal Senior Men's Championships quarterfinals and of course the Donegal Senior Ladies Final, which is taking place on Sunday. That's the Score programme tonight just after the 7 o'clock news. And cricket, the Northwest Warriors were due to play their fourth game in the Test Triangular Interprovincial Trophy today in Dublin. They were down to take on the Munster Reds in Balbriggan, but due to a wet surface, the game was first of all delayed, and then later in the afternoon, it was called off. The Warriors are still without a win in the competition so far. In cycling, Alexei Lutsenko has won stage 6 of the Tour de France. Having been paired to off a leading breakaway, Ireland's Nicholas Roach was named the rider of the day. Sam Bennett retained the sprinter's green jersey. The Irishman has now increased his lead over Peter Sagan, while Adam Yates keeps the overall leader's yellow jersey. And finally in rugby, just 3 starters from Leinster's won against Ulster last week have been named in the 15 to take on Munster in tomorrow's Pro 14 semi-final at the Aviva Stadium. Hugo Keenan, Devon Toner and Willie Connors will start back-to-back games, while captain Johnny Sexton will return to the halfback line with Luke McGrath. Munster, meanwhile, have made 3 changes for the tie. Jack O'Donoghue, Stephen Archer and Billy Holland come into the pack. That's your sport for today, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisín. And as it's a Thursday, it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. The appointment of Donegal TD Charlie McConnellogue as the new Minister for Agriculture has obviously been the big story on the farming front this week and has been extensively covered here on Highland. So, what else has been happening on the farming front? Well, firstly, farm organisations in Donegal are reminding farmers that the deadline for the beef finisher payment scheme will close next Wednesday, that's September the 9th. The IFA has created a dedicated step-by-step guide for farmers who wish to apply for the scheme, and it can be found on its website. The Donegal IFA livestock officer, Frank McLean, says that the payment will be critical for farmers in Donegal who incurred losses, especially at this crucial time as we head into the busy time of buying and selling weanlings in the months ahead. And the IFA livestock chairman, Brendan Golden, said it's crucial that the money gets out to farmers as soon as possible and that the full €50 million allocated is spent. Well, the mixed weather of late has certainly caused some concern in relation to this year's harvest. Newton Cullinham-based farmer Stephen Robb is the tillage correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's been telling me more.
It's been a challenging year, and it's finishing off as a challenging harvest. Now, there has been quite good progress made around the country over the past week. You know, we're about 80% of the way through the harvest at this stage, but look, it has been far from easy. So it has. Maybe the difference this year is that it's not just the difficult harvest isn't just confined to Donegal. It's nationwide, and that there's the weather's just not playing ball. So it's not. We're dealing with broken weather, showery weather, long spells of wet weather, poor drying, and just making it a real kind of a smash and grab harvest as such. It's making the harvest difficult and it's making the baling of straw difficult. And what we're actually harvesting on top of that isn't anything to write home about. The winter crop harvest was particularly poor, so it was in many areas, with the exception of the far south. In terms of winter barley, winter oats did okay in the end up. It's actually the year actually kind of suited oats as it seems. And in terms of winter wheat, look, overall, yields are far from special. Spring crops is what we're on now, by and large. They do seem to be performing better than expected. Bear in mind, that the drought, which was experienced in parts of the country earlier on in the season, that really, really hammered spring crops, particularly in the northeast of the country. So guys are practically writing off some of their spring crops, but yet they're still seem to be performing okay, considering, crops which looked like they had a 1 ton per acre yield potential appear to be yielding, two and a half, which is nothing, which isn't bad at all, so considering the year they went through. But now the focus is on getting the last 20% of the harvest cleared up, and it seems that further south they probably will, by and large, be able to finish up within the next week, because there's somewhat settled weather coming in. But up here, it just looks like it's going to be a lot more broken and a lot more difficult to get finished up.
And the bottom line, Stephen, margins, profit, how are things looking in that sense?
Look, I suppose 2020, it's going to be a difficult year in terms of profitability for tillage farmers for a number of reasons. The main one being, of course, is that yields are down across the board in terms of your long-term yield averages. But also, as the poor weather really prevented a lot of harvesting at optimal times to take place. We're now looking at in-field yield losses, both in terms of head losses, in terms of sprouting, and in terms of a reduction in grain quality. That's for the feed grain, and it's very much the same for the malt and barley, for the premium crops. All around the country, there's a lot of stuff failing, very high proportion of stuff failing in the south, which is very uncommon. So that's the actual crop itself. Take a look at grain prices. Well, look, they've certainly been strengthening over the past week or two. And if we look back in the spring, we really thought the trajectory for grain price was downward and was going to bottom out, at a very poor price. But it's actually recovered somewhat. But look, it's still nowhere near where it needs to be as such to compensate growers for the yield reductions and just for the general hardship and an increase in cost in terms of machinery and wear and tear and personnel and whatnot this year. So it's going to be a tight year in terms of margins, Chris.
Now, I note in the UK there's real concerns about the grain crop, and with Brexit looming and the need for possible imports in quite large quantities, there could be a real hike in the price of bread and many related products. What's going to be the knock-on effect here?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that before. So we've seen that for their last deadline as such. We've seen a huge kind of spurge and buying in the UK. They try to get as much grain into the country as possible. And then as it transpired, the deadline was extended. So they were sitting with stores full of grain, which kind of bottomed out the market as such. That could happen again this year. I mean, there's certainly guys scrambling in UK to purchase as much grain as they possibly can. But I suppose the difference is they're actually contending with quite a bad harvest as well, both in terms of quality and in terms of yield and in terms of harvest progress. And if you look across Europe, the European harvest was actually downgraded by 5 million tonnes last week, I think it was, by the International Grain Council. So, yes, they're looking for grain, but the grain mightn't just be as readily available to them before their deadline on January 1st. So, look, in terms of milling and in terms of the kind of speciality grains, look, there could be a problem there. There could likely be a knock-on impact for flour and for bread and whatnot, which is also going to impact Irish producers as well, because we import the majority of our milling wheat from the UK, so we don't actually produce any milling quality wheat anymore in this country, which is an awful pity. So yeah, I mean, there's potential knock-on prices for for any kind of bread product as such in Ireland.
And looking to next year, given the projected yields, do we foresee acreage being down?
I wouldn't say so. I would say acreage will by and large remain somewhat stable. I can't see it increasing, that's for sure, but I don't see a rapid decrease. What I do see is more normal breakdown of winter to spring, obviously depending on the weather, like, but we'd be very unlucky to have two very poor autumns, which would prevent the normal area of winter crop planting from taking place in a row. So that's, I would say there'll be a lot more winter crop planted this year coming.
Now, turning to potatoes, of late we've had cheap imports and weak sterling. This hasn't helped matters here.
No, look, that's always the case with potatoes, sodas. I suppose potato growers would have had equally as difficult a year in many areas. I mean, we had that freak incident with the frost in May, which impacted a number of crops up here, but it actually turns out that all it did was delay the maturity of those crops, so it didn't actually wasn't a complete write-off as such. But whenever you take in the extra cost from irrigating and whatnot, which many growers around the country had to do, you know, you are just looking at higher production costs this year. But that's the same in the UK, and it's the same right across Europe as well. So we're no different in that front. But look, I think by and large, the crops that are out there, the reports are quite good. Anyone who has invested that time and energy and effort into maintaining and looking after their crops in the spring and then through the summer, well, then I would think it's going to pay off for them, because by all accounts, crops are looking quite reasonable.
And that was Stephen Robb, a Newton Cunningham-based farmer and tillage correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Congratulations are in order to the winner of the 2020 RDS Teagasc Farm Forestry Award. It was awarded to Carn Dunna farmer Ross Buchanan. From traditional Donegal sheep farming stock, he manages 48 acres of diverse woodlands planted on an outlying farm back in 2006. Meanwhile, ICSA Animal Health and Welfare Chair Hugh Farrell has advised farmers that the TB herd history letters should be ignored. He claims that many farmers are in a state of panic and confusion, particularly in relation to the advice to cull cattle, even though those animals have never tested positive for TB. He added that this is causing a lot of confusion and worry. Meanwhile, the IFA Animal Health Chairman, Pat Farrell, said the Department of Agriculture's blacklisting of farmers through the recently announced TB herd risk letters has devalued animals on an estimated 20,000 farms throughout the country. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed. Chris, weather forecast, a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers, some of those showers heavy. They'll become isolated, though, the further we get into this evening, in fresh and gusty west to southwest winds. Mainly dry tonight with clear spells, showers pushing in from the Atlantic toward dawn in lowest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees Celsius, moderate to fresh westerly breezes overnight. Tomorrow, the showers will become more widespread through the day, some heavy bursts, but sunny spells as well in between. Highest temperatures on Friday of 14 to 16 degrees Celsius in moderate to fresh westerly breezes. Main stories in brief, and the HSE says up to 1,000 people a day aren't turning up for scheduled COVID-19 tests. They're warning it's becoming an issue at a number of sites. Meanwhile, the HSE says it's very pleased with how schools have responded to recent cases of COVID-19. There have been a number of classes sent home following cases in schools in Dublin, Clare and Kerry. A spend and stay tax break scheme has been launched in a bid to increase business in the off-season for the hospitality sector. A nationwide publicity campaign is to be launched at the weekend. 77 new cases of COVID-19 confirmed today in Northern Ireland, and the Green leader has committed to following up with the Health Minister and the government over calls that recommendations in a review of gynaecological services at Letterkenny University Hospital be fully implemented. Issue was raised in the Dáil today by Deputy Piers Doherty. Next news is at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 3rd of September. The death has taken place of William Gallagher, Dennis, Pier Road, Rathmullen. His remains are reposing at his home, Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, with burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. Family flowers only, please. Mass can be viewed on MCN Media/St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen. The death has taken place at his home of John Farron, Clare, Redcastle. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral service can be viewed on the St Columba's Church webcam. The death has taken place of Margaret Curlin, née McKenna, late of 289 Lisnara Road, Ahabrack, Dunamana, County Tyrone. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahabrack, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with current guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Jamie Boner, Carnmore Road, Dunlow. His remains are reposing at his home with rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Cronus Church, Dunlow, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. The death has taken place of Padraig McLoon, Stryboy, Glenties. His remains are reposing at his residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Danny McLoon Leukemia Fund, care of any family member, or James McGuinness and Sons funeral directors. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and friends. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Anna Gallagher, Main Street, Milford. Her remains are reposing at her home. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Milford. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors. And the death has occurred in Luton, England, of Eddie Friel, formerly of Dunaff, Urus Clonmany. His remains are reposing in St Michael's Church, Urus. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the funeral Mass will be private to family and friends only, please.